Hello, this is Jeff Stanner from Americans in France. And today I'm talking with Jeannette Merval. Jeannette, are you there?
I am, Jeff. Hello. Bonjour.
Bonjour. And where are you?
I am down in the Rhone Valley. The Rhone Valley is where they make the Côte d'Rhône wine. And I'm in a town called Montélimar, which is very famous for its candy, which is a type of nougat. Very good. If you look at a map and you go from Paris and draw a line down to Marseille on the coast, it goes right through the Rhone Valley. And I'm in between Lyon and Marseille.
It's kind of the beginning of the south of France.
Well, it is. And for a long time, people here would always say, well, we're in the south of France. And anything north of here was not Provence. And it's funny, as you go further south, everybody says, oh, well, you're not in Provence. We're where the Provence starts. And even if you go a bit north of me, they say, oh, we're in Provence. You know, it starts where we're at. So actually what happened was somebody came up with kind of a brilliant idea and started calling where I'm located at the Drôme Provençal. So we have our own name. We're not quite in Provence, but we're in the Drôme Provençal.
The Drôme is the department.
Yeah, the Drôme is the department.
You've been here, here being France, for about 30 years. Is that correct?
It is. I actually stopped counting at 30. So it's been just a little bit more. My son will be 30 this year, and he was born here in the Montélimar area. So, in fact, I feel really old because the clinic he was born in doesn't even exist anymore. They've torn it down.
What's it like being an American in France for 30 years?
Well, it's been a long, fun ride for the most part. Funny, because France was so different 30 years ago, and yet it's still the same. And by that, it's just, you know, it's just interesting because so much has changed and then yet so much is still the same. But just technically, France has changed so much.
How has it changed?
Well, 30 years ago, when I wanted to call the United States, I had to go to the post office, stand in line, and then when you get up there, then you have to speak in your pidgin French, because I was still learning it, that I wanted to call the United States. And of course, they just kind of shove you over to the side and say, wait over there. And it usually took about a half an hour for them to finally get a hold of the international operator and for that operator to call my parents. There was no direct dialing whatsoever. And in fact, to get a phone in France about 30 years ago, there was like a 6-month wait. So it's, you know, technology has changed the face of the country in a lot of ways. The TGV has changed the way we travel. It used to take 7 to 8 hours to get from Paris down to where I'm at. And now it's under 3. So that changes everything.
Just for people who don't know, the TGV is a high-speed train. Tell me about the French attitude.
Well, the French attitude is, in fact, I said to my husband recently, who is French, why can't they just be nice? Why do they want to make it difficult? Why do they have to be so abrasive and rude? Because I was recently in the metro in Paris, the information booth, and it was kind of like pulling teeth. I had to just, like, draw the information out of her. I had to ask her all these questions to get the information without her just voluntarily saying, well, listen, lady, if you know, this is how you buy tickets and this is how much it costs and I can give you a map and here's how the metro works. They will not volunteer any of the information that they are paid to give you. You have to really draw it out of them. And I still don't understand that attitude of why is it so hard for them to just want to give the information with a happy attitude. And, you know, that's probably very American because we consider the customer the king. And they weren't raised that way. They don't have that same conception.
I still find it strange when I go back to America, I go into a store and I get asked 3 or 4 times, can I help you? Because you go into a store in France, normally no one will say, can I help you? Or
you can't find anybody to help you.
I went to, I think it was Best Buy in America, and it was just like every 5 minutes, can we help you? How are you? You need anything?
France will change in spite of herself. The borders are going to have to drop, even if they're just mental in their minds for the French. And then at the same time, you know, what are we going to do when France is just like America? You know, that finally dawned on me the other day after 30 years of me trying to get this country turned around to my way of thinking. And I thought, oh, my God, what if they all started acting and thinking like me? Why would I even want to be here? saying that facetiously, but you know what I'm saying.
Let's see. You do some coaching, right?
I do a bit of coaching, but I find it easier to have foreign clients than French clients, and I think you and I have kind of discussed this offline, that, you know, in any case, whether they're American or French, people don't change unless they really want to.
How realistic is it, do you think, that an American can come here and get a job?
It's not realistic at all. Job hunting has always, always been difficult in France, and just so people understand that it's not a new situation, and a lot of things changed in France after World War II. Socialists at that point came up with a retirement plan. So it was really after World War II that France kind of got modern to a certain extent and, you know, came up with paid vacation from a job. They came up with retirement plans. They really started out a whole new chapter in French history, the kind of revolt and the strikes of 68, and a lot of things changed. And work became very, very difficult to find because of the social charges.
In America, we talk about payroll tax.
Yeah. Let's say if I hire you and I pay you 1,000 euros, I also have to give 1,000 euros to the government. So you don't cost me 1,000 euros, you cost me 2,000. So I, as a boss, would give you 1,000 and 1,000 to the government. France has changed, obviously, since World War II, but you have to understand why. Work is difficult to find here because a boss, like in the States, when he hires you, if you don't do your job, he can just fire you. Here, that's not the case. People get hired, they don't have to do their, you know, they can slack, and the boss can't fire them. Opportunities are just not as easy to come by as in the States. People aren't as adventuresome. The French are not risk takers. There's a whole combination of reasons why work is so much harder here. You've got to come with some talents. That would be my big thing. Come with some talents. Be able to, you know, really speak the language, communicate well with it, know how to read and write it.
So what'd you say are some of those cultural differences with, you know, raising a child in France?
And I think it's, you know, it's quite interesting because parenthood is parenthood, and kids are really the same all around the world. I think that, you know, there are some differences in the education that the French give their children. I don't think it's necessarily better than what we do in the States, though. You know, what people have to understand is this is still really Latin. The French mentality is Latin, and American culture and mentality is Germanic, and there is a difference between those two. And the Latin are much more hot-blooded. They're a much more kind of carefree, sensual culture and climate. You know, I can remember when my son was little and there was a film on, and it was these native women and all their breasts were showing. Well, that to me was not shocking, because you see that here in France, whereas in the States that was, you know, completely against the rules, yet they could see so many violent things. So, you know, there's good and bad in both cultures concerning bringing up kids, and I think that, you know, if you're just really honest and loving with your child and just do the best you can, well, then, you know, any country is going to do. Now, if you get into the schooling side of, you know, the culture in France, school is much different here than it is in the States. There's very little room for the imagination here. I also know from some American friends that I've known for a long, long time, when they took their children back to the States for a couple years and they were, they'd done some study or had heard that it's so different for American kids because we're used to so much space. We're used to having a large classroom. We're used to having outdoor sports every day. We're used to having the room to kind of spread out, and that's what's so great about America is it's a new country. You know, it's only 200 years old. Whereas here the kids can be in school, in a school that's in an old village that was built, you know, back in the 1400s. And so you don't have the same space. You don't have the same volume. And they actually say that really affects the way the brain of a child works, you know, when they don't have the same room to spread out. They're much more confined here. They don't have sports every day. As you say, they have to memorize, you know, there's not much left to the imagination. It's all on dictation and memorization. And so it's, you know, I'm not sure the education system here is really better.
Well, I think the thing is, it's like the other stuff is different.
Yeah, it's just, yeah, it's, we come back to the grass. It's not greener. It just smells different. And it is a different shade. So I think it's really taking the best of both worlds.
You're bicultural. You can take the best of both worlds and hopefully leave out some of the bad, the hang-up.
Yeah, 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 which you and I both know that I don't always do. You know, it's not easy living in a foreign country because there's times when it can be really frustrating and it can be lonesome, it can be isolating, it can be a lot of fun. It's enriching, you know.
Well, how have you coped for 30 years? I mean, what are some of the mechanisms?
It's interesting. My best way of coping is to get out of the country on a regular basis.
Okay.
It really is. It's to take a break from the country. It's really tiring because it's not your culture. It's not your country. It's not your language. It's always going to be a foreign country. It's always going to be a foreign language, no matter how comfortable. I've been speaking it for 30 years, and somebody said something the other day, and I thought, I didn't know that word. I hadn't heard it before. I thought maybe they just invented it. You know, after all these years, you'd think that I would know every word. Well, do you know every word in the English dictionary? No. So there you go. I mean, you're still, you know, it's still a learning process. So I think, you know, if people do move here, and it's different for the people that move here that are not married to the French. I can't really speak to them because I don't know how it would feel to come and not be, you know, intimately or personally involved with a French person. But in any case, most people in any culture will always need to come back to their root, to their language. You know, I said to somebody, I was invited to an International Women's Day with, and there were some French people there, but it was organized by some English people, and so there was Americans and English, etc. And I said to one of them as I was leaving, I said, you know, after 30 years, there's not one French person that I can mention the fact that I'm not trying to keep up with the Joneses and have them understand what I'm saying. And we come back to that, the grass is not greener once you're into, you know, integrated into the country and, you know, you've got errands to run like anybody else and you're just trying to get some things done or something breaks and you've got to deal with France Telecom and, you know, so you're just doing what you have to do.
What brought you to France?
I was working in a record store in Belmont Shores, California, and this guy walked in and he said, I'm looking for a Gordon Lightfoot album. And so anyway, he was looking to buy a Gordon Lightfoot record, The Summer Side of Life, and so I sold him that. And anyway, I asked him if he'd been to the Laguna Arts Festival, and he said no. And I said, well, gosh, I'm not working tomorrow. I'll take you if you want.
Wow, that's pretty correct.
And, I had broken up with my boyfriend in Colorado, and I was just so intrigued by this, you know, foreign accent, and I thought it was cute. I'll be honest with you, he started flirting with me while I was showing him where the Gordon Lightfoot record was, and apparently, you know, if I remember correctly, he'd stayed, and we'd talked for about, I don't know, 15, 20 minutes and half an hour, and that's when I said that I would be happy to show him Laguna Beach. That's how I ended up in France, because then when he left to come back to France, he said that maybe I would like to come skiing in the French Alps for Noël. So I took him to the airport, and I decided, okay, I am going to France at Christmas.
You had no interest in France before that?
No. Although, I do have to admit that my real name is Jeanette Marie, right, which is very French, and on my birth announcement, my mother put the Eiffel Tower. And I did not know that until Jean-Luc asked me to marry him. And that's when my mom told me. She said, you know, it must be your destiny, honey.
Let's talk about some other stuff that you like about France.
Well, we can always talk about food. Now, I have to admit that we eat really well here. And I have to admit that I don't cook like they eat, though, because, you know, I just don't go for all the creams anymore and all of that. But I think one thing that now that I've been here for so long and that I really still appreciate is the regularity of the eating and the meals, which means I sit down to a lunch every day and a dinner every night, and I do not eat anything in between time. And I think that's what shocks me when I go back to the States and I'll go over to my cousins or my niece or my nephews, and they snack all day long.
If you had to sum up suggestions for somebody moving to France, what would they be?
You know, if your heart is just aching to come over and do the experience, you know, I think some people make the mistake of saying we're moving to France, and they cut off all bridges, which is not, you don't want to do that. You know, if somebody really wants to come and experience the country, I would say plan on coming for a couple of years. I worked in real estate, so I would also advise people to not necessarily buy in the beginning. They can always rent in an area because you might not know where you want to live right off the bat. And you know, there's things that when you come on a visit, you don't see when you're integrated. So I would say, you know, first off, come and rent for a year. Do the whole, you know, live the lifestyle, enjoy the whole thing. And I would say another really key thing is practice your French. Make the effort to speak their language and to, you know, watch some of the TV and try and really understand the culture. I say that it takes about 2 years to really become fluent. You know, the easiest way to learn the language is to be in the country, that's for sure. And then to give themselves time with learning the language. It doesn't happen overnight. It's, you know, it's any language. If French is not necessarily difficult. Any language just is difficult to learn unless you start with the basics, you know, and understand what it takes to learn a language. I had somebody say the other day that they were starting at that International French Day or International Women's Day. Somebody was saying that they understood what the people were saying to them, but they still couldn't formulate, you know, make sentences. And I said, well, you're in the process. That's how it works. You start understanding before you can speak. So, you know, once people really understand the process of learning a language, then they know where, then they understand where they're at.
Well, Jan, you know, it's been very nice talking with you.
Well, thank you, Jeff. I have really enjoyed it, and I hope that everybody found that a bit useful.